Now's your chance to be on Off the Ball.
Not too big, not too small, just the size of Donegal.
Get those WhatsApp voice notes in. 087 9 180 180.
Thanks for all the great sports coverage, boys.
We have talked a good bit over the last couple of years about the issue of online hate in sport. In particular, there have been groundbreaking research carried out by DCU researchers on the topic. Initially, it started in football, but it's now broadened out to a much wider coalition, taking in motorsport, the Council of Europe, high-profile athletes, and many of the international federations. Next Wednesday, there is a major conference called United Against Online Abuse in Sport, which takes place in Paris, where social media giants, governing bodies, athletes, and researchers will come together to try and plot a course of action. There is significant enough Irish interest. I'm delighted to welcome one of the attendees, Aidan Eames of Clark Hill Solicitors, a Dublin firm. Aidan, you're very welcome. How are you?
Hi, Jared. Good to talk to you again.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you guys are involved? And I guess it makes sense if we're going to try and tackle this that there's some kind of legal framework for it. But this is something that you've been working on for a number of years.
Yeah. So Clark Hill are an international US law firm based here in Dublin. They have a big sports arm, and I suppose law firms are not always the most popular out there in the community, but here's an opportunity to do something different and to make a difference on this issue of online abuse in sport, which is a global and societal issue. So I think a lot of law firms are challenged by the idea that artificial intelligence will shortly step into a lot of the transactional type of work that they do. So law firms like Clark Hill are looking at ways that they can bring judgment, risk analysis, strategy to bear on some of these challenges. So online abuse in sport is an obvious one for us, and we've been heavily involved in this from the get-go.
Tell us about some of the practical things that have happened, because I know there's a framework document that you've worked on that is now available to sports organisations to access, to kind of use as guidelines to try and at least understand what the problem is and what the potential for dealing with the problems are.
Yeah, so we are working on this framework, which is effectively a toolkit for sports organisations and also for sponsors in the sports arena, what to do when confronted with online abuse. So whether it's at the athlete, fan, officials level, when these attacks come on, who do you turn to? What are the right procedures and policies to have in place? So working with DCU, we have come up with an audit and best practice type framework. And behind that are the various response documents on an international level. And this is getting quite an amount of traction. Other things that we're doing, we're involved in monthly webinars that go out on the topic, again, working with Dublin City University and international speakers. That's getting a lot of interest. There are also online courses for sports organizations, athletes, and the general public looking at this issue for the first time.
The research is really important, because what we've found from reading the research is that sports people are genuinely turning away and giving up sport as a result of the consistent levels of online abuse they're getting. Fundamentally, people are stopping doing the thing they love that they're really good at because somebody somewhere is free at the moment to just consistently abuse them, and in great numbers as well.
Yeah, too true. And, you know, there are bad actors out there and with different motivations. In some sports, they see a lot of this online abuse coming as a result of betting. In some situations, from followers of competitors, opposing teams, tribalism, and just downright bad manners. So this issue of online abuse and online harm, those terms themselves are contested. However, the EU has made significant strides by bringing in the Digital Services Act, which sets up a bridge or a bridgehead between the organizations and the athletes and people affected by online abuse and the online tech platforms. And this is a space that this global campaign are looking closely at, to see if we can have a common approach between all the sports organizations, such that you can contact, you can follow up, you can have take down notices. typical dilemma. Who do you call? What's the number for TikTok, Instagram, Google? How do you even start to go about that? So we're looking at ways to set up a bridgehead and an efficient process under the Digital Services Act to address all of that for sports organizations.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the key thing here, because when you start thinking about this before you do any of the reading or you talk to anybody who's involved in it, it just feels like it's totally insurmountable that it's herding cats on a global scale where there's hundreds of millions of people who could be causing trouble. And there's no significant way to answer it. But I guess what's happened here is the research is trying to remove what is the contested language and come to definitions that are shared and agreed about what meets the threshold for online abuse, and then have a procedure in place that the Digital Services Act, i.e. Europe, are saying to the social media giants, you just have to do this. And if you don't, we're going to regulate you. And we've seen that they're happy to issue massive fines, significant fines, when other aspects of regulated social media stuff isn't being adhered to. So there actually probably is a template for us to try and address this in a meaningful way.
Yeah, so a bit like GDPR, the fines under this new EU legislation are a percentage of your global turnover if you get it completely wrong and if you don't respond and don't turn up as an online platform to look at these issues. It has to be countered at the same time with freedom of expression, free speech, and the type of banter and conversation that goes on between rival teams and rival sports. So to try to find that balance is a challenge, but the framework is there. And this is what this global campaign and the work of Clark Hill as a law firm is focused on.
So are you hopeful about it? Because we've been having this conversation over a long time, and sometimes you lose all hope. You open Twitter in particular and it's just a cesspit. But you've kind of seen the research that the researchers at DCU have done, and it's phenomenal. And they were in with us talking about the depths of depravity in the dark web and just how orchestrated some of the campaigns are. Knowing all that, and I guess in ahead of this conference on Wednesday, are you hopeful that we actually do have enough of a toolkit to be able to begin to address the issue?
Yeah, so we're on our way. So the sports organizations that will be represented there are football, FIFA, World Rugby, tennis, netball, volleyball, motorsport, and many others, together with some of the key regulators. The French regulator will be there, the Ofcom, the UK regulator, and as late as yesterday, I was in discussions with the Irish regulator, Commissioner Mann, who have expressed an interest in having this bridgehead through to the online platforms in the area of online hate speech and to do something about addressing it. Is there an absolute fix? No, I don't believe that there is. But can we take steps and can we hold some of these people accountable? Can prosecutions be brought? Yes, they can. But it's a journey and we're on the first step of that.
Yeah, it's part of that journey is waking the social media giants up to the fact that they have to take responsibility for it when an individual, a linesman or a corner forward in a GA match is getting abused. That ultimately, the social media platform has to take some responsibility for the fact that this is happening through their pipes.
Yeah, and I think that there is a willingness at a corporate level for this to happen. But remember, part of their business model is the rapid exchange of views and dialogue. And oftentimes it's difficult to moderate. So what we're about is this is a research-led initiative. DCU have to be credited for their work, their leading global work in this area. The FIA, the motorsport regulator, for taking a lead on it. And FIFA in particular, who have made great strides in this area in recent years. And now we have, you know, we have the UEFA tournaments coming up. We have the Olympics on the horizon. It's coincidental that we're having our first annual conference in Paris on the eve. But I know that the French government and the EU legislators are taking an interest in this, and some of them will be in attendance.
We're obviously talking at a very high level here about the various coalition that needs to be built and what needs to happen at that corporate level. In terms of the actual individuals themselves, is that kind of the next phase of this where a toolkit is given to them, or is this basically up to the individual sports to try and use the structure to tailor advice to their own individual athletes? Or how do you think that's going to play out, Aidan?
Yeah, so like I say, this is grounded in data analysis, but ultimately it's about engagement with the athletes, the officials, and the fans. So first of all, there has to be buy-in from the sports organizations. And then armed with the toolkit and the resources, they can bring that those steps to play amongst their own fan base and in their own space.
Okay, so it's going to be very interesting to see exactly how it all plays out. And it's obviously a massive, as you say, no silver bullet to any of this. We need to educate people. Maybe, you know, just pause a little bit before you hit the send button. That's on one side of it. And then for those people who refuse to pause, finding a way to make sure that we can track that, monitor it, and see what the impact of it is like. So it feels like it's going to be a life's work in many ways.
Well, like, just to go back to my opening point, this is where a firm like Clark Hill, a seasoned campaigner like myself, can get involved with a view to trying to make a difference. It's happening in the data privacy area. And it should happen also in the area of online abuse and harm.
Is there an education job to be done on our legislators here as well? Like, it's obviously not a bad part of the world to be doing this in, given so many of the tech companies have a relationship with Ireland and probably does fall on the Commissioon in many ways to be very active about that. And they've been brilliant so far. But for the legislators who are giving the Commissioon the tools, do our politicians need to pay a bit more attention to this too?
Yeah, for sure. And some of the language used would puzzle at times. I mean, you only have to look at the harassment legislation or the draft bill, which is, I think, now coming on 4 years trying to get through the Oireachtas, and it's still not settled. And we're on the eve of an election in this country and elsewhere. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done in the space. I know that there is a willingness. Part of our work is to translate and simplify the concepts and take them down to concrete actions, less about the talk and more about the concrete and practical steps that can be taken.
So in that context, events like what's happening next Wednesday is about building the coalition so that an agreed sense of what is possible and what's desirable comes out of it. So FIFA, the FIA, tennis and World Rugby all suddenly decide, actually, you know what, we can agree on the principles here. And at that point, that becomes the language that they lobby politicians to try and change the rules.
True. And a collaborative approach. All of these sports organizations and federations are taking their own steps, but there is a common purpose here. And a collaboration can only assist, particularly if we're operating from the same toolkit. And best practice is recognized across the board. And also bringing the smaller sports federations and organizations on board and making available to them the sort of resources, both research, policies and information that's out there and should be available to them too.
And just on that note, so loads of people listening will be curious about what they should be doing at a local grassroots level. This isn't really about that just yet, is it?
It's going in that direction. The first step is the buy-in from the sports organizations themselves. And then to agree the templates, agree the policies and procedures and steps, and then that's rolled out then through the sports organizations by those sports organizations themselves, because each of them have a nuanced issue and situation that they're dealing with.
Yeah, and but that's where you can get real change really quickly with the big organisations and their massive footprints. But the smaller organisations too can then just use that toolkit and implement them as well. So as ever, Aidan, it's great to talk to you. It's a fascinating and unfortunately endless topic. Is there anything else, any other aspects of this that you think we're missing?
No, I think I have to say programs such as Off the Ball and the leadership that News Talk and yourself are showing around this issue can only be welcomed, and we look forward to providing you with updates according as the months go on.
Aidan Eames, good stuff. Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Thank you.